This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier, thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hello and welcome to the Rest Is Football question and answer episode with Alan Shearer, Micah Richards and me, Gary Lineker. Some great questions again this week. Thank you so much for continuing to send them in. Let's get cracking. The Kerr Box Kids ask, what's the framed letter over Alan's shoulder when he's at home?
Oh,
it's actually on the top of your head at the moment. What is that, Alan?
Yeah, that's signed off the Queen, Gary. Signed Elizabeth at the very top for my CBE.
Is that your CBE?
CBE, yeah.
Very nice too. That's not the medal for the CBE you're wearing on your chest there, is it? No, that's a logo of something.
That's over there somewhere,
I thought it'd be quite cool if you
were. For the younger listeners, what does CBE mean, Alan?
Oh, I thought you were going to say something there. Commander of the British Empire, Micah.
But just for the younger audience, that's all.
Some thought it might be the other C word.
That's what I thought you were going to say.
No. I was thinking it, but I wasn't saying it.
Matt Wright, what's the best practical joke you've ever seen in the dressing room? Ooh. Practical jokes. I've seen a few. Gazza mostly.
Yeah.
He'd do all sorts of terrible
deep
things.
Deep in the pants, cutting your socks.
Yeah.
It's like, it's everything, isn't there?
Pooing in the toilet bag.
Shitting in the bag, yeah.
Oh, God.
I think the best practical joke one of Gazza's, it's not one he did at Spurs, was at Rangers with Ali McCoist. I've heard Ali tell this story many times where, because Gazza was obviously a keen fisherman. And I think Ali McCoist had done something to Gazza. I can't remember what it was. So Gazza had been fishing and he'd had a successful day and he decided to put a fish in Ali McCoist's car. But the clever nature of it and why I think it's the best practical joke is that he put one fish where he thought Ali would eventually find it, but then he put another fish somewhere else. So Ali found the first fish after a while, even though the car was obviously stinking with obviously rotten fish. But I think the fish smell stayed in his car and got worse day after day, week after week. And he eventually found the other fish that he put in there. It's quite clever. Yeah.
Micah, you must have pulled a couple off in your time, have you?
No, I got one, but I pull a lot of tricks, but nothing too great.
Do you want to restate that question? You've pulled off one or two in your time.
Pulled off one or two tricks. So,
hey, Gary, you don't know what I do in my private life.
No, I don't want to know either, thank you.
But it was a similar thing with that. So I used to prank around cutting each other's like laces up and doing daft stuff and all that sort of stuff. But someone, and still to this day, I don't know who it was, has basically shit in a bag and put it in a little box. You know, so you've got your boot and then you've got underneath your boot, which you never go there unless you get a flat tire. And I kept taking my car to the car wash and basically something's not right. My car is stinking. I'm literally, and I cannot find where it's coming from. I'm not joking. Like, can you sort it out? I must have got my car washed 50 times, still the own stench. So one day I get a flat tire. And me, I think I can do everything. I'll change the tire. I pull the flap up. It's got all your tools in it. Underneath the tools, this poo had turned grey. And it was just minging. And please, whoever did that, can you own up now? It's been 10, 15 years.
Come on, Pellegrini, admit it.
Zabaleta.
Even better. Steve Dennis, having just recently binged watched Ted Lasso, can you, Alan and Micah, tell us who was your Roy Kent? Great acting, by the way, or were you just being Gary Lineker as usual? Well, it's not really tough to act when you're just playing yourself, but it still feels weird actually doing that. But you watched Ted Lasso? Both of you?
No,
Micah. Well, let's say the Roy Kent character is clearly based on Roy Keane.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's a great character in it, actually.
You know, you do acting and that, what have you, because you've been in it, Gaz, haven't you? You feel a bit of an imposter.
What do you mean?
It is odd. It is odd. But I've never played anyone but myself. But
I know, but when I've tried to do it, I've always felt, you probably look and sound a bit of a dick here. And ultimately I did.
Which reminds me, which one of you sent that clip of me doing something like 30 years ago?
Oh my clip on God.
On a children's TV show.
What's happening on that?
I can't even remember doing it.
Really?
It's one of the best things I've ever seen. We've got to get that on the socials ASAP.
We're going to put it up on the social media, the Rest Is Football on Twitter handle and possibly Instagram as well, so you can see. It is a bit cringe, I have to say. Let's say I was a tad wooden.
you won't be getting any new offers, that's for sure.
Yeah. I actually didn't think he was wooden. I actually thought it was really good. I was thinking, how does he remember all his lines?
I was younger then, I could remember stuff. I can't even remember the name of the show. I do vaguely remember doing it, but it was a bit awkward. I didn't enjoy watching it, I have to say. Connor Fox, since he played mostly before my years of watching football, how good was Pep Guardiola as a footballer? Who would you compare him to in today's game?
Ooh, that's bloody good.
He was a holding midfield player,
yeah.
Cerebral as you'd expect, and a little bit like a Busquets, but
yeah,
probably not quite as good. Xabi Alonso, maybe.
But he could go forward a little bit as well, couldn't he? So he was a holder, but he had really good feet. I used to buy him on Championship Manager all the time.
I did
on Champ Manager all the time.
He's not paying your ambassadorial fee, you know that. It's just Man City, it's not him. I used to buy him on Championship Manager.
I left him hanging, didn't I, at the
you
weekend?
Did, yes.
I didn't realise either. I didn't realise. At the end, I saw the BBC put a clip out.
I was like that. I could see it happening. Oh, yeah, I was like, Gary, turn around.
Yeah, I was trying to get us off air. We had about 8 seconds to go. And he stopped talking. So I had to turn to camera to deliver a closing line. And while I was delivering it, he'd put his hand out to shake my hand. I didn't see it. I saw it on the clips after. And then after I'd delivered the line, I just turned to him and I saw his hand was there, so I just shook it and said, cheers, Pep. But when I saw the clip, I thought, oh God, I left Pep Guardiola hanging with his hand out. One for you, Alan, from No Friction Zone. How was it playing with Tino Asprilla? It's perceived he had a lack of discipline. Is that right?
Well, he loved a drink and he loved a party and he loved a good time, but he was a brilliant footballer and he was great in the dressing room. because he was a piss taker. You could take the piss out of him. He was one of the lads. He loved being in Newcastle, and Newcastle loved him. And half the time, he didn't have a clue what he was going to do. So how the hell did we know what he was going
to
do?
So he was hard to play with.
He was unpredictable. Yeah, but he was a brilliant bloke. He was brilliant for the dressing room.
Yeah. Here's an interesting one before we take a break from Keith. Who, in your opinion, was, is the most complete footballer? For example, if you had to have a team made up of 11 of the same player, what player would you choose? Good Lord.
Wayne Rooney.
Yeah, not bad shout. He probably covered the whole pitch most of the time, yep. Even though he's a striker.
Yaya Toure.
Yeah.
He's played centre-back, he's played midfield, and he's played number 10. So he could do everything.
Yeah. Steven Gerrard, Lothar Matthäus, those kind of players that do a bit of everything. Okay, let's take a short break. We'll be back in a minute.
Spring is here, and you can now get almost anything you need for your sunny days delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? Well, you can't get a well-groomed lawn delivered, but you can get a chicken parmesan delivered. A cabana? That's a no. But a banana? That's a yes. A nice tan? Sorry. Nope. But a box fan? Happily yes. A day of sunshine? No. A box of fine wines? Yes. Uber Eats can definitely get you that. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. Product availability may vary by region. See app for details.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Wearing a Men's Warehouse outfit makes you confident, like you could do anything, so you dance like no one is watching, even though everyone is watching. Because of the Men's Warehouse outfit, you interview like the job is already yours because it is. Because of the Men's Warehouse outfit, you golf as if the rules don't apply to you because you're too well-dressed for rules. Because of the Men's Warehouse outfit. At Men's Warehouse, get measured, get fitted, get hot, get confident in everything from tailored suits to underwear and all the stuff in between. Love the way you look at Men's Warehouse.
Welcome back to the Rest Is Football question and answer episode with Alan Shearer, Micah Richards and me, Gary Lineker. Cracking questions again this week. We've got one from Stet Hall. Are you going to have a break during the summer break, or will you have a few special episodes for the Euros? Thanks for keeping me entertained. Thank you, Stet. We are planning to have lots of episodes during the Euros. We have, you know, plenty of spare time. And obviously it's a massive, massive event. So I hope we'll entertain you and we'll keep on top of things. And as games finish, we'll get together and have little chats days after game. Hopefully there'll be a lot of players around we can bring in as well to interview. So that is our plan at the moment. And then our break will be after the Euros. So it's middle of June, isn't it? It's the middle of July.
Looking forward to it. We'll have some good episodes out there, I'm pretty sure of it, because it's all going to be reactional and after games and what have you. So, yeah, it should be good fun. Looking forward to it.
Can't wait. We'll bring you the vibes in the summer. Yep, summer vibes.
We certainly will. TVGC. To Alan, when you made your debut at 17 and scored a hat-trick, did you ever think you'd work on a show when you were retired with two other ex-footballers and that the one known for bursting into the scene wasn't you but a defender instead? I mean, that's quite the question. If you'd have seen that coming, you'd have been...
I'd have been off. I'd have been away. Yeah. No, but I have to say, and I'm not just saying this because you're two really good lads, but I really enjoy working with you two boys. Not only on a Saturday, but on this as well. It's not a chore. It's not hard work. It's just really enjoyable working with two pals.
The feeling's mutual.
Oh, this is a loving. Well, it's joyous working with you both. Before we all throw up, let's move on. David Gordon, is it still legitimate to claim the Premier League is the best league in the world when the current top three teams and the team in eighth have all failed to progress in European competitions? I believe it is the most entertaining, but the best? Question mark. Well, you can't judge it just on one season. Obviously, you've done pretty well in the European competitions in recent years. I don't think we're quite a farmers league because we've not managed to to compete. That, you know, Real Madrid got lucky, obviously, against Manchester City. But it's tough, European competition. There are a lot of really, really brilliant leagues in Europe. La Liga is fantastic. Serie A is really great. Bundesliga is dynamic. France has got, obviously, PSG. So it's going to change from season to season. But I don't think you want one league just dominating.
I think it's
completely.
Best still. I think it's when you look at it as a whole collective, atmosphere, stadiums, players, coaches, managers, all of those things, when you put it all together, I think it's still the best, despite what he said in terms of the Champions League this season.
Yeah, I'd agree. It's probably the most entertaining as well. When you say best, it's hard to really put it on. And you're defined by Europe. And in Europe, sometimes not always the best team always wins. It's just the best teams over the two games or when you get faced or when that might be in the group. So I still think the Premier League's the best league, especially the most entertaining. And if you look at from top 10 teams in England now, looking very, very strong. So yes, I'd still say it's the best.
Glenn Trimmer, question for Big Meeks. Mr. Creosote. Big Meeks is a manager. His team get a penalty in the last minute of a big final to win the game. He has to decide who he wants to take the penalty, Alan or Gary?
Oh, what a question that is. But I think I've got a bit of research on this. Some of us do as a little bit of homework. Ah. From what I can find, Gary's all-time record is 16 out of 21.
16 mm-hmm. pens out of 21.
I didn't think I'd taken that many, but
that equals 76%. And Alan's record is 56 out of 67, which is 83.6%. So Gary, I'm sorry again. I'm having to go with my good man Alan.
No surprise to me, Big Mix.
It's okay. Just fuck off.
The right choice.
Tony asks, can Micah describe the events leading up to and after the game with Arsenal where Adebayor scored and ran the length of the pitch to celebrate in front of the Arsenal fans? He was like a man possessed. Did Micah have any idea that was going to happen?
No, I didn't. So before the game, it was just normal. I know people are thinking, oh, was he nervous or was he saying anything before the game? He had his headphones on, chilling, listening to his music, as he does. He's dancing, real character in a dressing room. So we're playing against Arsenal, and obviously Arsenal's my team, but I'm playing for Man City. It's also my team, which I absolutely love. And playing the game, and the game's going, and whatever, and basically the Arsenal fans are giving Adebayor the biggest amount of abuse I've heard at the Etihad since I've been there, since I played there. And I'm not exaggerating. It was madness. It's Adebayor, it's Adebayor. You know the rest of the words. I'm not going to sing it.
But
that was the theme. So I thought, if Adebayor scores here, it's going to be carnage. The Arsenal fans are going to run onto the field. I say, well, he's not scoring anyway. Next minute, I think the ball goes to the right-hand side. I think, if I can remember the game correctly, it was Sean Wright Phillips who put the cross in. He puts in a beautiful, caressed, whipped ball. Adebayor with his leap. Header, I believe. So then I'm thinking, oh, so we're facing one way, but the Arsenal fans are behind me. So if I'm playing in the right back, picture me playing in the right back, the fans are behind me, and Adebayor is playing up front, so he's in front of me. So he scores the goal. I hear the Arsenal fans going absolutely crazy. Next minute, I seen Adebayor like a horse galloping.
He was, wasn't he?
Towards me. He was galloping, head back and everything. So I think he's coming to me. So I put my arms out, like, get it. And he just brushes me aside and goes all the way to the Arsenal fans and just celebrates right in front of them. And it was carnage on it. The Arsenal fans were fuming. But obviously, it was just that pent up frustration from both sides. But he apologized in his interview afterwards. I was like, you don't do all that and then apologize. What was the whole point of it? So, yeah. And then after the game, there was nothing. He didn't mention it again. I think it was just that whole everything came out in that moment.
I love all that about all this. Yeah. I mean, it's nonsense, isn't it, for me, about not celebrating against your former club. You're being paid by your club and loved by your supporters. You've got to celebrate. There's no disrespect to your former team or whatever it is. Just celebrate and love it for what it is.
Do you think it's going slightly out of fashion, the not celebrating thing, though? I've noted more players now are just getting on with it and celebrating and enjoying the moment rather than thinking. Yeah. I mean, you still get some players probably that have...
Well, even Unai Emery last weekend, wasn't it, with Villa and Arsenal, where he went mad on the touchline when they got their second, I think it was. So, yeah, I'm all for celebrating. No disrespect.
The celebration police are a little bit annoying, aren't they? People that, the joy killers.
When you go back to the club for the first time, there's that mutual respect, isn't it? And then after that, it's like, yeah, okay, I'm a different player now. I'm going to celebrate, I think.
Yeah, probably. Last question from Noel Radulovic. Do players respect managers who were not pro players or had bad playing careers? How do managers gain respect and authority when they join a new club? Thanks and greetings from Croatia. Thank you, Noel.
Yeah, I think they do. I think it's how you go into the dressing room, how you operate, how you work, what you say. Your relationship's got to be pretty quickly between the players because players want to judge you straight away. I mean, it may be help, but I don't think it's a huge thing. I think it's just how you go in and how you deal with the players straight away.
There's plenty of examples of managers that have gone all the way to the top that haven't had any kind of real football career. Obviously, Jose Mourinho being one of them. There are numerous others. Arsene Wenger wasn't a distinguished career by any means. Gerard Houllier was another one. I think he was a school teacher, wasn't he? So there are plenty of examples. Sven-Goran Eriksson as well. So yeah, it can happen. I think if you've come in as a top player, you know, you probably get a little bit more time than players. If players see someone come in who hasn't had much of a career, maybe it's their first or second job and they're not established, you know, they'll take time to win over. I don't know, because I think every player will be different as well. But I think ultimately, whoever the manager is, the players, you kind of respect them straight away. You give them a chance, don't you?
I think so, absolutely.
Yeah. We're all in agreement. What a beautiful way to finish. That's it from the Rest Is Football question answer episode. Goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
I'm Anthony Scaramucci, former White House Director of Communications and Wall Street financier.
And I'm Katty Kay, U.S. Special Correspondent for BBC Studios. I've been covering American politics for almost three decades.
Welcome to The Rest Is Politics U.S., brought to you by Goalhanger.
Go on, tell us, were those donations you made, like Obama in 2008, was that idealism? Were you hoping to get something out of these campaigns that would serve your own business interests, for example?
So I think this will either make this podcast incredibly successful, Katty, or people will be horrified and they'll shut it off right now, because I'm going to be very real with you. The Obama donation, I had gone to law school with President Obama. We were not classmates. I was a few years ahead of him. It was 2007. He was then Senator Obama. I had a check in my breast pocket. I went over to the senator. I said, Senator, I said, you and I didn't really know each other in law school, but I'm about to hand you a big check. Can I lie to my friends and tell them that you and I knew each other in law school? Well, Obama looks at me, had the best smile in American politics since Jack Kennedy.
Forever.
Yeah. He lights up. He looks at me and says, I'll tell you what, if you double the amount of the check, we'll take it back to Hawaii. Okay. And I looked at him. I said, you're done. I had another check in my pocket. I ripped it up. I doubled the amount of the check. And I'm going to tell you right now, I've been to more White House Christmas parties during the Obama administration than the Trump administration.
In this pivotal year for the United States, democracy, and world affairs, Britain's biggest podcast, The Rest Is Politics, is launching stateside.
Uncovering secrets from inside the Biden and Trump inner circles and how they shape the world's most important economy, but also the global economy too.
New episodes are released every Friday morning.
Just search The Rest Is Politics US wherever you get your podcasts.